You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, Ed Stetzer here for another episode of the New Churches Podcast. And of course, we're so thankful for those of you who are faithful listeners. I just spoke at the time of this recording, just recently spoke at the Exponential Conference there in the Exponential West, they call it, in the Bay Area, super time. And I just was just encouraged by how many people say they listen to the New Churches Podcast. So we're excited to continue these conversations. I won't tell you the episode number because they don't let me, but we're getting close to 1,000 episodes. Just saying, but we'll see. I'm not allowed to announce the numbers because they yell at me. So, but anyway, not really yell, but raise their voices slightly. So anyway, that being said, our guest today is Mark Lee. Mark Lee planted Vantage Point Church in Eastvale, California in 2008. He's actually a Talbot School of Theology graduate. I serve here as the dean of the Talbot School of Theology. Since then, Mark has helped plant 10 other churches around the country, and he serves on the lead team of church planters for the Send Network. And Mark, we are super glad. And we're both in California. When they're going to be cold, you and I are going to be living the dream.
Suffering for Jesus, 70 and sunny every single day.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. And you're more like where you are is warmer, I think. The more you go inland or in the Inland Empire, warmer than like where I am in the closer to the coast.
Yeah, we're not exactly the high desert, okay. But I'd almost consider us the low desert. But still, like it's not bad to live in Southern California. I've loved
not
it so
bad,
far.
Not yeah. bad, exactly. You know, no. All these people say, oh, you live in Southern California. You know, everyone's moving to Texas. Can I just tell you, having recently bought a house, everyone's not moving to Texas. It was very hard to find a house. Lots of people here. Lots of people need Jesus here. Also, lots of churches doing some great things. So love it. Love that you're part of our conversation today. We're going to talk today about really how do we keep pastors in the game? Because we're finding, all of us have sort of heard the stats that Barna was putting out that the percentage of pastors thinking about quitting was going up. Now, just, I don't know if people have kept up with that stat. It has actually leveled off, it peaked and leveled off some. So it's not continuing to go up, but it's still a pretty high number. There are some fake stats, you know, that people say that, you know, 90% of pastors don't make it to retirement. That's not a real stat. Nobody knows that. There's some stats about, you know, that, you know, 1,000 pastors leave the church, leave the ministry every week. I mean, these are just crazy things that people come up with. But here's the reality. We all know that we're perhaps in the most difficult time for most of us in our lifetime to pastor. That's facts. We also know that we're experiencing some of the challenges. We're feeling some of this as well. And my guess is some of the people here who are listening to the podcast today are among those who are like, I'm not sure I can make it, and I'm thinking about quitting and more. So today we're going to talk about endurance, staying in the game for the long haul. Let's talk first about this from a biblical perspective. What's the significance of endurance in the Bible?
Yeah, I think the biggest significance is just that Jesus needed endurance. Jesus had endurance. And he needed that to go to the cross. My favorite verse about endurance is Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Now, the Greek word for perseverance is the word hupomene, and it's only at Talbot that I would, no, not only at Talbot, but I.
No, let's say that. Let's go with that. Let's go with that.
In only at Talbot. In the TDNT, the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, it nice. Gives you a secular understanding of how that word was used at the time. And it was actually not a sports term, but it was actually a military word. And it was a military word used of an army that was supposed to guard an important strategic position at any cost, that they were to hold the line, no matter how overwhelming the enemy was, no matter how difficult the situation was, to persevere means to overcome no matter what the opposition is. Now, the verse goes on to say, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand throne of God. Consider him who endured. Now, those two words, endurance and perseverance, are pretty much analogous, but I like the word endurance in the English even better. Do you know why? Because it implies in the word, there's the definition, and that is endurance means that I have to endure something. And when I think about endurance, what is it that I have to endure? Well, I have to endure pain, is really what it comes down to. Now, I am not only a pastor, but I love this subject because I'm a bit of an endurance junkie. What our listeners cannot see that you can see, Dr. Stetzer, is that I have run over 50 marathons and half marathons. I have run a 50-mile race, which means that I was running when the sun went up and I was still running when the sun went down. And so at mile 10, you're thinking to yourself, this is an awesome idea. I don't know why I didn't think of this sooner.
Yeah, I apologize for interrupting, but at mile 10, that's not what I'm thinking. But keep going.
At mile 20, you're like, can't stop me now, having such a good time. At mile 30, you're thinking, is this a rock on my shoe or is my toenail about to fall off? And then at mile 40, you're thinking, whose stupid idea was this? Did I actually pay money to do this? Like, why? And that's a question that we ask in ministry too, when the pain gets a little bit bigger. Like, why am I doing this? Now, yes, this is what a lot of pastors will say, a lot of conferences, a lot of breakouts, a lot of pastors to pastors, that my endurance is rooted in my relationship with God. And that is so absolutely true, right? John even tells us that without him, I can do nothing. Okay. However, with that being said, I think pastors can interpret this a little bit too far, to the extent where they go, if I'm feeling tired, if I'm feeling fatigued, if I'm feeling like I have a significant amount of pain, then there must be something wrong with me, that I must be doing it, that I must be getting it wrong, and that this is a sign for me to quit. And so when it comes to pain and enduring pain, we have to ask ourselves, what is pain? What is pain at the end of the day? Here's what I'm trying to say, that pain can either be a feeling, but oftentimes we turn pain into an interpretation, okay? Pain, this hurts, that's a feeling, okay? I have to quit. I can't do this any longer. I can't go on any longer. That is an interpretation of that feeling. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And here's the point that I want to make. If you can make one interpretation, you are also capable of making another interpretation. And that's what James does essentially, where he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials or pain of many kinds, because you know that it's going to do something in your life. So this is what some people call framing, that what I have to do is I have to understand, I have to frame my pain correctly, that some people will see that this pain is making them weaker. I'm going to try and choose to make an interpretation that this pain is actually going to make me stronger. Some people will interpret pain while you're running as this pain is making me slower. No. What I'm going to try and do is I'm going to interpret the tearing of my muscles as a way that this pain is actually making me faster. Some pastors will see their pain as a sign that something is wrong. What we have to attempt to do in that moment is to see that my pain is a process, and that it is developing something in me that I could never develop in myself. If that makes sense.
It does. It gives you a sense of almost leaning into this,
yes,
in a way that produces something in you that would honor the Lord and ultimately be for God's glory and your good. Yeah. So one of the things that people are probably, many people listening are like, it's just so much though. I mean, I went into the ministry and really I thought people would like me, and I didn't expect people to be, you know, frustrated and mad all the time. I often tell people, if you wanted everyone to like you, you've probably chosen badly. You should have chosen to be the ice cream salesman, because everyone likes the person.
That's what Steve Jobs said. Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a great quote.
So I guess the question is, you know, one of the things I've been talking about now is how people need reservoirs of resilience. They need to endurance is going to be connected with the resilience, and resilience is going to be something you have to cultivate and more. So part of it is just trying to figure out, how do we walk through that? So I want to, you've gone from being a long distance runner, you're doing these endurance, great endurance feats of strength. So how is this, like, how is this important for pastors, and how has that had an impact on your own life?
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, I think there's no pastor that didn't want to quit during COVID. I mean, during COVID, we said too much, we said too little, we opened too quickly, we opened too slowly. I mean, just the amount of criticism, like you're talking about, Ed, during that time was just almost, it seemed inconceivable for people in general who are kind of a people-pleasing bunch. Not only that, but in our church specifically, we were going through a building program. And so we were finishing up construction as COVID was coming to an end. So for me, it was COVID. It was building construction. 50% of pastors quit within a year or 2 years after their building is completed, just because the sheer amount of stress, or also kind of the what next kind of moment. But all of that was just coming to a perfect story. In fact, our first service coming back from COVID, a lady came to me at our first service, and she just said 277. And I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "It's been 277 days since our church last met."
Oh, wow.
And it was during that time that I had not only dreamt about my resignation, because what pastor at the end of the day on Sunday evening doesn't dream about their resignation, right? But it was actually during that time that I'd actually written it. Hmm. And so here was a realization that I'd come to, that sometimes there is a time where the needs of the kingdom and the desperation of our times are actually more important than what it is that I may be feeling at the time. I think for me, it was beginning trying to attempt to analyze the season that I was in. If a baseball player gets hurt in the beginning of the season, you can shut them down almost immediately. It's a long season. We have a phrase that we use on staff that everyone plays hurt during the playoffs. And so if we get to the end of Christmas, or if we get to the end of Easter and we don't feel tired, you know, then you're doing it wrong at that point. But we have to discern the season that we're in. And for me, you know, the season that we are in as pastors, the light of the gospel is flickering in North America. We are net losing churches every week. The tide of culture is becoming increasingly more secular. And so there was something in me that when, you know, that I'm feeling tired, mm-hmm. but there was something about what is happening in the kingdom that made me go, well, my endurance is so incredibly important during this time. So it's during those times that I always kind of go back to one, not only my calling, because I think that's part of the reason why calling is so incredibly important. And I could tell you a story about how a small Korean church of 150 people in Indianapolis, Indiana, paid for my entire seminary education, no strings attached.
Wow.
So how could I possibly give up the stewardship of all of that money just because I was feeling tired in the moment? But I still remember, this is what always gets me. What I still remember is I was working as a civil engineer at the time. I took a half day. I was a volunteer youth pastor. I took a half day because I wanted to finish up my sermon for that Sunday. And I was sitting at Barnes & Noble's, and I was just thinking to myself, like, I can't wait to do this with the rest of my life. Mm. This is what God has called me to. And you know what? Man, I just can't wait to do this for the rest of my life. And so this is what I think during times of suffering, during times of pain, how we answer the why question is so important. because every runner asks that at mile 20 of a marathon, why am I doing this to myself? I think for the pastors, your answer to that question is the most important endurance weapon that you can possibly have. For me, I got two goals in life. I want to be married to one woman for all of my life. And I want to know the blessing of pastoring one church for all of my life. And if I want to meet those challenges, I have not only got to be able to endure pain, but to your point, I've got to be able to welcome it.
Yeah. And that's wow. That's, I mean, it's just tricky. And it's, I think there's a sense that people, I remember like decades ago, you know, some pastor saying, I'm going to plant this church. I'm going to stay here my whole life. And I think in part, they didn't realize just how many stages and phases and challenges that ultimately would include. So for those who, and again, not everyone's called to do that the same way. You know, some of us have planted and moved and planted
Absolutely.
In other places, and that's we're in favor of all those things.
Absolutely.
But I think inspirationally, people hear that and they're inspired by it. Maybe it's even an aspiration. They want to do it.
Yep.
But man, just the day-to-day, talk to us a little bit about what are some practical steps that pastors can take to practice this kind of biblical endurance so that, I mean, because everyone needs it. I mean, you know, in my case, I moved around and planted more, but I still needed longevity in ministry.
Absolutely.
So what are some practical steps that people can take to, that pastors and church leaders can take to practice biblical endurance?
Yeah. Before we even get to something like sustainable pace, I think it's your leadership of a board, the board, the elders, whatever you want to call it in your church, whatever that entity is. I heard a great quote from my mentor just this week that boards are like guns. They can either protect you or they can kill you. And there are some pastors who have board members. We're getting real nuts and bolts at this moment. Yeah. There are some pastors who have lifetime board members. I am not in favor of that idea because that's like having a lifetime staff member. You know, your church grows, and as your church grows and as you grow and as you have different seasons in the church, you may just have different needs. The Spirit may be moving in different ways, even from season to season in your church. So I think having a good, healthy board who understands their role, who understands your role, who understands the vision of the church is so incredibly important. I think sustainable pace is so important to that. So for me in particular, like, especially as a church planter, a sustainable preaching rhythm was so important. One of the things that I had to figure out when I figured out my yearly preaching calendar is that the first thing that I do is I don't figure out what weeks I'm preaching. I figure out what weeks I'm not preaching. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest rock that I want to figure out, because this is what I feel like. I feel like burnout is a feeling. It's subjective and not objective, to a certain extent. And what I mean by that is this: I can preach for 7 to 8 weeks in a row as long as I know when my next Sunday off is, you know, because I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I can make it to the light at the end of the tunnel. But if I don't know when my next Sunday off is, I could conceivably go into the pulpit on week one and feel burned out. Mm. And that's because I just don't have a sense of when the next time I'm going to have that rest is. For me, this is something that has been important as time has gone on. And I don't know if we talk enough about this, that there is such an incredible amount of loneliness, I feel like, amongst senior pastors. We as senior pastors are really good about talking about community, but I think in terms of actually finding genuine community, I mean, I think that's something that's so different. And so for me, one of the things that my wife and I have just implemented, I actually got this from Dave Ramsey in an old book called Entre Leadership that he wrote many years ago. But he said even one of his relational goals is that he picks 3 or 4 couples a year. He sets up 3 or 4 meetings, dinners with them and their wives. He does that in January, and he schedules that out throughout the entire year. So in January, he's setting up dinners for December, and his friends think that he's crazy. But there's something about that just that camaraderie. If you run with people, you can just run a lot further. And so I've even been trying to be very intentional about the cultivation of my friendships and relationships with other senior pastors, because they can understand the burden I carry better than anybody else.
Important steps. And I think for all of us in these challenging times, we need to lean in on the endurance question. So thank you so much, Mark, for helping us think through some of these things. Again, our guest has been Mark Lee. I'm Ed Stetzer, the Dean of the Talbot School of Theology, and your not always, but you know, often host here at the New Churches Podcast. Remember to leave a review. It actually helps other people find the podcast. And, you know, the New Churches Podcast is the most listened to church planning podcast in the world. We love that. But we really just want to encourage and help everyone who's planning a church or has a passion in doing so. So thanks for listening today to the New Churches Podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.